10th chapter of Acts, if you would, please. And once again, we return to the path that we've been looking at. We're at number 99. Next week will be the 100. And then we've got four more after that, and it'll be 2 years even that we've been looking at this path of Peter. And we're not even close to being done with the book of Acts, where Peter is talked about in the book of Acts. And once we're finished with that, we'll move on to 1 and 2 Peter. In our last study, our Lord had sent an angel, a messenger, to bring good tidings to a dear brother in his household, a man by the name of Cornelius. He is described to us as a devout man, one that feared God. When the Holy Spirit tells us that Cornelius feared God, he's telling us that he was a saved man. We don't come into this world with reverential fear of God. We come in with a fear of death. We come in with a fear of the unknown, but we don't have a fear of God. In fact, all mankind who come into this world shake their fist at the true and living God and said, "I don't fear you at all. I'll live the way I want to." He feared God reverentially. It's like your father. Our true Father in heaven, we look at Him in a majestic way, in a powerful way. When you're a little child and your dad tells you not to go into the street in a stern voice, what do? You may run out into the street, but not when he's looking, do you? You stop. It's a reverential fear. It's a fear of respect. He's telling us that he was a saved man, a child of God, a regenerated soul. Those who have a fear of God established in their hearts are saved people. The Word of God holds out a multitude of promises to those who fear Him. Our Lord takes pleasure in them that fear Him. Listen to what it says in Psalms 147:11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. Those who fear God are accepted by Him. Listen to what it says in the 10th chapter. Actually, let's look over there together. We're in the 10th chapter of Acts. Look over at verses 34 and 35 of chapter 10. Are we accepted in the Lord? Yes, we are. Listen to this. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth Him," we're talking about Cornelius, who feared God, in every nation he that feareth Him, feareth God, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with Him. We're accepted in the Beloved. Because of what our Lord and Savior did, our God accepts you and I as His people. Accepts us as heirs to the throne. Joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in Psalms 103 verse 13. The Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Also in the Psalms verse 33, or chapter 33 verse 18, it says, "The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him." Folks, God's hand is open to and ready to feed them that fear Him. We read that also in the Psalms 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Our Lord remembers those who fear Him, and He comes to them. As we read in Malachi 3:16, it says, "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." In Malachi also, in chapter 4, verse 2, we read this, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." These are those, as Cornelius is, who fear God reverentially. Salvation belongs to us who fear the Lord, as it says in Psalms 85:9. Surely His salvation is nigh or near to them that fear Him. Indeed, all of the goodness and the blessedness that God has laid up for His elect in heaven belongs to all who fear Him, just as Cornelius did. Listen to what it reads, what we read in Psalms 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. The fear of faith is not a slavish legal fear. We're not afraid as in, well, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And if you don't do that, this is going to happen. Because we know that we're not doing all that, and we're not doing all this, but our Lord has done it for us. It's called grace. It's called mercy. It's not a slavish fear, but a loving, gracious, reverential fear for the Lord God Almighty. Faith that causes a person to fear God also creates in him a loving, generous spirit towards his fellow man. In Galatians 5, verse 6, look back there if you will, please. We read this, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Because Cornelius feared God, faith produced works of love in him. He also gave much alms to the people, as we read. And love shows itself by acts of kindness. Look with me, if you would. Hold your, mark your place in Acts, because we'll come back to it. But look over in 1 Corinthians 13, if you would, to the right, just past Romans. 1 Corinthians 13. The fear of God produces love in the hearts of His people. We love because He first loved us. In chapter 13, verses 1, we read, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," that's love, "I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not have itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in the part shall be done away." Cornelius was one who worshipped in earnest. His faith was not just a form of worship. He sought the Lord with all of his heart. In Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 14, we read this, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Cornelius sought the Lord with all of his heart by making use of the outward means of worship. This is what you and I do right now. This is what we're doing right now. We are here this morning making use of the outward forms of worship. We're coming together on the day of Sunday, on Sunday morning, to worship and praise our Lord. Why? Because we have a reverential fear for the one who had mercy on us, the one who first loved us. We love Him. We love to hear more of Him. It boggles my mind how some can just come once in a while. I'm not saying they're not saved. Don't take that wrong, please. What I am saying is, as a child of God, I know I've got to be here. I need to hear the Word of God. Why are you going to church, John? Where are you going? I'm going to church. Why? Because I need to. You know, when my nephew was killed, some of you may remember, there was an incident with the local sheriff's department, and they took his life. The officer felt there was a threat of some kind, and the very day that the Lord took him out of this life, we met at my brother Lee's house, and he and his wife were in great sorrow. And Kathy goes, "Where are you going?" I said, I got to go to church. It's Sunday morning. It happened on a Saturday night. I didn't want to talk to anybody, but I needed comforting of the Lord. And where did I come to? I sat in the back seat back there, and I just walked in, sat down. As soon as service was over, I was out of here that fast. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I need to hear. It's where I want to be. Not because I think it's going to save me, but because my Lord has saved me. It's done. And I love to hear about Him. Don't you? Oh, how I wished more of God's people did. Cornelius was at the place of prayer when prayer time was there. He was at the place of worship when worship time was there. He sought the Lord with all of his heart by making use of the outward means of worship. At the hour of prayer, he was in prayer. At the time of sacrifice, he was found in the outer court of the temple. It says he prayed to God always. Does not our Lord say, pray without ceasing? You know what he's saying? He's saying we talk to our Lord in our heart all the time. Cornelius gave all credit to the one who deserves all credit, to the one who is credited for all things, the one who is sovereign in all power, ruler of everything that is. Why am I hitting every red light? Thank you, Lord. That's the exact same thing. Cornelius may not have had red lights, but you understand what I'm saying. He sought the will of God in all things. He lived by faith and dependence and upon our Lord and Savior. Cornelius was a child of light. He walked in the light of God that God had given him. In 1 John verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7, we read this, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Could you not imagine what it would be like to sit down with Cornelius in a time of worship with his whole family? Oh, brothers and sisters, this is what happens when Kathy and I are blessed with the ability to travel to other churches. We sat down with the saints of the Dalles. It was wonderful. Be just like going to Cornelius's house and sitting down with him. We walk in the light that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. The light that Jesus Christ has accomplished the will of the Father to save His people by giving Himself on the cross for us. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And because He walked in that light, because He walked in that light, God continued to give Him more light. Don Fortner wrote this. He says, "In the Old Testament times, the angel of the Lord ministered to people in much the same way as God the Holy Spirit does today. He appeared to Cornelius when he was engaged in prayer and assured him of his acceptance with God." Look at verses 3 and 4 of chapter 10. He saw a vision. This is Cornelius. He saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, and the angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he had looked on him, on the angel, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he saith unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up unto a memorial before God. Going on with Don Fortner, he writes, Like Enoch, he, Cornelius, pleased God by faith in Christ. Look at verses, or you can read that actually in Hebrews 11, verse 6. We won't read that today. The prayers which he had put up in faith and the charitable actions that he had performed from a principle of love for the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to God with acceptance. Then the angel of the Lord showed Cornelius where he could find a messenger from God for his soul. And Cornelius sought him out. Look at verses 5 through 8. And the angel said, And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So in the meantime, God has graciously prepared Peter's heart to minister effectively to his beloved people at Caesarea. Look back at verse 42 of chapter 9, or 43. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon Peter. The Lord was preparing Peter to preach this message. Look at verses 9 through 23 of chapter 10. Now on the morrow, as they went on their journey, those that were sent to Joppa, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray. Now isn't that interesting? Here we come back to that prayer again. Do we not have troubles in our own lives that we've failed to pray to our Lord about? Do we not have concerns that come into our own lives every day that we fail to pray about? Peter went up onto the housetop, it says in verse 9, to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit out of four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts in the earth and wild beasts and the creeping things and the fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, there call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was a surnamed Peter, was lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision of the Spirit, said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. It would seem that Cornelius needed a word from God, wouldn't it? So he sought it by earnest prayer. It says back there, he was a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house in verse 2, and gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He needed something. Oh, what it is to be one who needs something, huh? Need something that we can't get on our own, huh? And have one who's about to fulfill that need for us better than we know ourselves. Cornelius had a need. He needed a word from God, so he sought it by earnest prayer. Peter needed the help of God to preach the gospel. I sit at my table this morning. I'm done typing out the notes for the message. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, how unworthy am I? I need my Lord to stand before you as much as you need our Lord to hear his word. Peter needed the Lord to speak to him so that he could speak to Cornelius. And what was Peter doing? He was praying. Hearing the word of God. He thought in earnest to be in earnest prayer. Peter needed the help of God to preach the gospel, so he sought it by earnest prayer, and both men got what they needed from the Lord, did they not? Next week I hope to pick up and go over those verses 9 through 23 in a little more detail, but we'll call this the end of today's study.